Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. And let me remind you, lest I forget it, and oftentimes I do, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue today. We're talking about the collision between two worldviews. The collision between two worldviews. We're talking about the Christian worldview, or the Constitutional Republic worldview, and communism. And communism, I might say, blended with what we're witnessing on the horizon today, Islam and the Islamic jihadists, as they very rapidly begin to get an inroad, foothold, in taking over the control of America. We can just look to New York, see what is happening there, and recognize the pattern they're using to set forth for America in the Islamization of America. There's a need today for us to recognize we're in a battle. May I say to you, from a Christian biblical worldview, it is a demonic battle, but it's a battle nevertheless. And multitudes will see the battle is simply between politicians, politicians' viewpoints, denominational dogma, or religious rules, rites, rituals, and regulations. It's a battle that is far deeper, far more aggressive, and far more dangerous than any of that in that area. May I say to you today, we're witnessing the collision between two worldviews. We're going to talk about these two worldviews. Then I'm going to ask you to respond. Which worldview would you rather see? Which worldview would you rather have? We're watching today as the millennials, a large number of them, millennials. I see some that the Islamics call useful idiots that are not just the millennials, but I see some in the groups, the crowds, the arenas across the nation, primarily in blue cities and blue states, where they're waving foreign flags, demanding their rights as citizens of another nation or allegiance to another nation to be held up, not having any idea for the most part of what these other rules, regulations, guidelines in communism, socialism, Marxism, and Islam may be, and how it would affect them if they are ruled by it. I listened to one that was recently elected in the primary in Colorado, talking about making America a communist nation, openly talking about it, that being the need. One of the recent ones elected in New York City said they wanted to take control of the means of production. That's a direct quote from Karl Marx and Marxism. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. As I've said so many times over the past years, less than 100 years, in my lifetime of preaching and teaching the Word of God, we need to look at everything, every event, local, state, national, international, and global. We need to see it through the prism of the Word of God. You see, in God's Word, we're seeing what God has done, is doing, and shall do, past, present, future. It is the only book in the world that gives us history past, history present, and history future in one volume. It's called the B-I-B-L-E. I don't know if you recall, I'm old enough to recall the days of Vacation Bible School, where the kids would sing together the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I said it's the book for me today, and it should be the book for every person today if you'd find Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And that's one of the greatest needs that we have in our nation today, is to go back to the fundamental biblical roots of our nation. We're going to touch on some of that in the broadcast today. So let me remind you, right after the monologue, we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to call. Jot the number down if you fail to recall it, 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. As we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. I call it the Truth Book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed." That word indeed is a fascinating word. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples truly. A true disciple is identified by staying in the word of God. And Jesus further says, "And ye shall know the truth." Staying in the word, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no greater freedom than in the word of God, knowing the lordship of Jesus Christ, knowing his word, applying his word, depending on his word, counting on it. There's no softer pillar to place your head on at night than to know that he is still on the throne. He's not abrogated his throne. He's not asleep. He's not dead, as was the mantra back in the 60s. Jesus Christ is alive and well today. And in Psalms 33:12, the Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." That's the element that I believe is missing in society. But when we see Jesus in John 14:6 says, "I am truth." John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117:2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." How long is forever? It's forever. Yet the secularist George Orwell made a statement in the dystopian novel entitled 1984. By the way, that was published in 1947, 48, and 49. Entitled 1984, there was a powerful statement among others that he made. Now, I'm not deifying him, he was a secularist. But Orwell said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We find that to be very factual today. Truthful, if I can use the same term. A lot of people today that want to deny the truth, reject the truth, and refuse to follow the truth, refuse to believe the truth, and will try to bifurcate truth in some fashion. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made this statement. In part, he said, "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in some of our Christian churches." I'm looking at a headline that's a frightening, stunning headline. Most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In the article, it begins with, "Webster's Dictionary says truth is the body of real things, real events, real facts, actualities." The body of the article, it points out that 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say that each person determines his own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, when you do that, you get a mush, no truth in it at all. And yet, as one writer put it, Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. I'll go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus said this, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, live the truth, tell the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." I don't know if I could have said that any better myself. There's a need today for us to go back and seek the truth. Listen to it, learn it, love it, live it, and be willing to defend it. Charlie Kirk did that. He was defending the truth when he was assassinated by an individual that said that he was a hate monger. And so he was going to get rid of the hate. And the reason, in my opinion, the young man that assassinated Charlie Kirk, because he was a homosexual living with a male, and he told that homosexual partner that he was going to get Charlie Kirk because he was speaking hate. Kirk was standing for truth of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time we get back to the fundamental basics of Thus Saith the Written, Revealed, Inspired, Infallible, Inerrant Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I identify it, find it? It's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag. Old Glory, the U.S. flag, flowing 24-7. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, just a few more moments on a brief monologue. We'll open our telephone lines. Let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you today. We're talking about the collision between two worldviews. What do you think those collisions are? What are the two worldviews? Should we be concerned about it? Listen, there are preachers in pulpits today that's refusing to speak about it, refusing to talk about it, refusing to identify the culprit that's endangering the life, the work, and the ministry of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ today. And listen, if one of the worldviews, or if the other worldview, dominates the Constitutional Republic, we will lose our religious liberties, we'll lose our freedom of speech, we'll lose our churches, we'll lose our right and opportunity and freedom to evangelize and tell others about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, as we witness the very serious, very real rising embrace of communism and Islam today, I believe we should see this as a cause to pause and question, just how did this happen? Have you pondered that? If you've recognized this has happened, how did it happen? How long has it been maturating before it's exploding today? Where did it come from? What is the cause? What can we point to today that says therein lies the incubator of Islamization and there lies the incubator of the communist, Marxist, socialist agenda? Is that something that we've known about for years and just ignored? Is that something, ladies and gentlemen, that our politicians on both sides of the aisle recognize today? Some are trying to do things to prevent it. Others are ignoring it and are embracing it altogether. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize how this is happening and why it's happening. Secondly, with the population around the world, in any other city, any other state, any other nation, would they completely ignore others coming in to take over, overthrow their system of government? The reality is, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that Islam and communism and that way of life is totally different, totally opposite, totally in contrast, totally conflicting with the way of life and the belief system in the United States of America based on our Constitutional Republic. And every Christian and every conservative ought to be concerned and praying about this very factor. And let me touch on this, just tuck this in at the very outset. Just a little over 4 months, we're going to have an election in America. And this election is probably the most consequential election in my lifetime. And as I've said so often, I'm still under 100. But it's the most consequential election in our lifetime. If the wrong party, if the left, if the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party wins the midterm election, you can kiss it goodbye for a constitutional republic. You can absolutely then look forward to the embracing of Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Islamic-controlled nation. In fact, according to the George Barna report of just a few years back, he said by 2050, America would be an Islamically controlled nation. He said by 2030, America would be a Hispanic-speaking nation. He didn't say anything about communism, socialism, and Marxism. I'm amazed to see those factions, socialism, communism, Marxism, and Islam, holding hands. They're antithetical to each other, will not coexist under any umbrella, yet they're holding hands to try to destroy, to overthrow, to undermine, tear down the foundation of America. Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Our constitutional republic is in grave danger today. I'm not trying to be an alarmist. Simply, I go back to Ezekiel 33, the watchman on the wall. And after giving an elongated first 9 verses in Ezekiel 33 of what's happening, what we should do, and how we should respond, Ezekiel says, how should we then live? Let me just paraphrase that and apply that today. If we recognize what's happening, if we understand what we have now as a constitutional republic, and if we understand any modicum of truth about where it will be if we lose our constitutional republic, how should we then live? I believe every Christian, every conservative, every patriot, every pastor in every pulpit should be wise enough to honor God and try to speak forth the truth that will warn of danger ahead, as the watchman on the wall is required to do. Just look at Europe. 20, 25 years ago, I was saying then that Europe was going to be overthrown, overtaken, and controlled by Islam. That's where it is today. Look at the Netherlands. Look at what is happening in Germany and France. Look at what is happening in most of Europe today with the Islamization of the nation. I believe we need to recognize we're on a fast track for very dangerous things before us. I'm looking at headline, President Trump calls communism the most serious threat since the nation's founding. Let me read a paragraph or two. President Donald Trump described the influx of communism as the biggest danger to the nation while delivering the keynote address to the Faith and Freedom Coalition. This is the most serious threat to our nation since its existence, in my opinion, President Trump said. The president cautioned the audience about communism's insidious nature and its overreaching goal of destroying religious liberty. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, you show me a nation that's a socialist, Marxist, communist nation. I'll show you a nation where a Bible is not allowed. I'll show you a nation where churches are not allowed to exist. I'll show you a nation where Jesus Christ is not preached. I'll show you a nation, just as in many nations today, North Korea, China, Russia, etc., where even a cross on the steeple of a building is not allowed. Is that what we want as a nation? Is that what we want as Americans? I say no 10,000 times no. One other brief article, and we'll open our telephone lines. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I'm looking at an article. It is a frightening article in relationship to what is taking place today. It is... It says this, on this day, 250 years ago, the Continental Congress gave final approval to the Declaration of Independence. The level of providence and human sacrifice required to form this great nation is hard to explain. Looking back, it is clear that God had a plan for America. As we look back at the mindset of America's founding generation, I'm reminded of a quote from the Supreme Court Justice John Marshall, who served as the court from 1801 to 1835. John Marshall said, and I quote from this article, ladies and gentlemen, the American population is in its entirety Christian, and with us, Christianity and religion are identified. Christianity was so prevalent during the founding era that Marshall thought it would be somewhat bizarre if America ever denied the Bible and Jesus Christ in Christianity. America has fostered and exported Christianity around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, we are a Christian nation. We still have thousands upon thousands of churches. George Barna said 2 years ago, we've got 360,000 churches in America. Now, I've not counted them. I'm quoting Barna. But with that number of churches, you would think that we'd have enough Christians that would be astute enough, know the Word of God enough, be wise enough to stand, speak up, be heard, be seen. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, W. Youngblood. You are so right. And I tell you what, I'm less than 100 also. And it started really in elementary school on up to colleges and universities. I remember when I was coming up in the 60s, well, 50s and 60s, we used to have a Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. And that is just, that's gone. Because they say, to this republic, I pledge allegiance to the flag, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation Amen. Under God.
Amen.
And now it's out the back door. They just, these colleges and universities, they're teaching communism.
Well, Kenneth, brother, you're exactly right. And all of what we're talking about now is as a result, and I say all, and I'm using that inclusively, all of what we're faced with today with the approaching socialism, Marxism, communism, Islamization of America is as a result of the socialist, Marxist, communist professors in our universities where parents were so interested in a prestigious credential more than what was being taught to their kids and brainwashing them. All of these, if I could be plain and elemental, all of these dummies in the street waving flags for the Palestinians, waving flags for the Islamics. All of these are doing that. They don't realize they're called by the communists and by the Islamics. They're called useful idiots. They're raising the banner for an organizational structure that will destroy it. They would be the first one destroyed. And this comes about as a result of the Marxist professors and what's been taught for the past 60 years in our prestigious universities. I'm concerned about it. In fact, today, Kenneth, I'll touch on this, get your take. Headline says, not an oversight, publishers and libraries across America are scrubbing Christianity out of the American story. A generation that does not know where their freedoms come from will not know where their freedoms are, what their freedoms are worth and whether they're worth fighting for. A new study confirmed that libraries and publishers are working diligently on cleaning Christianity out of the American story. The study from publishers Brave Books was called The American 250 Faith Gap and received more than 300 books from 25 reading lists assembled by the children's publishers, libraries, and others. Among those so-called top books, there were no titles directly addressing faith or Christianity at all. There are no titles directly addressing religious liberty or the role in the founding fathers as being Christians. Now, Kenneth, this has been going on, according to this article, for the past 25 or 30 years, gradually, methodically, incrementally, trying to erase Christianity from our nation. What's been said from the pulpits? What's been said from Christians? What's been said from our so-called Christian conservative politicians? Very little, if any. What do you think? What is the answer from your perspective, Kenneth?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, it's sad to say, but that is so true. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't learn from your history, you're doomed to repeat it.
Absolutely.
You are going to flow. You're going to flow.
A good example of that, Kenneth, is the fact that in this same article, it says there was no titles about the Great Awakening, no titles about faith that was lived out in our founding fathers, no title about a real Christian history. However, there were multitudes of books with pictures tied to the books about Project 1619 and the LGBTQ lifestyle and the transgender lifestyle, and those, they had sympathetic biographies projecting Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as the leaders to help with the transgenderism in America. Now, the problem is, it goes back to the fact, just like here in Duval County, St. John's County, Clay County, there's a fight, there's a battle now to remove the sodomite pornographic books out of the libraries and out of the hands of the students in our public school system. And we've got school superintendents in all three counties that say that they're concerned, but they do nothing. And when groups go in trying to filter through the books and analyze the books to remove them, they're being fought on every hand. I'm familiar with what's happening with that. And I'm embarrassed by the fact that we have so many Christians and conservatives in our tri-counties around us, the three counties that we're talking about, that's seemingly doing very little to try to clean up the books for our kids. It goes back to the fundamental, Kenneth, that if we as Christians and conservatives say nothing, do nothing, and sit in silence, we're doomed as a nation, and our constitutional republic will be wiped out. The next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. So, Kenneth, I always say, it's sad to say in this frame, but I'm looking for the rapture. There are a lot of folks that will be here. I won't be here, but I'm saddened to see what's happening and what will take place for our kids and our grandkids and the great-grandkids if Jesus tarries and the rapture tarries of what they'll be faced with in America. So it demands our prayer, our vigilance, and our constant stand for truth. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up today.
God bless you.
Thank you
so
much. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the collision between two worldviews. Do you see it? Are you concerned about it? Have you been considering it? There's a move today in America to ban our constitutional republic's Second Amendment right. Listen, it was Karl Marx that said that Marxism could not be embraced by a nation, would not take hold, I'm paraphrasing, could not take hold in a nation of religious people. And also you'll find, ladies and gentlemen, in every nation, not some, not a few, not most, every, E-V-E-R-Y, every nation that's gone into communism, socialism, Marxism, they take the weapons, they disarm the citizens, so they will have no means of retribution against big government taking over and destroying them. I'm thankful in America we still have a Second Amendment right. Although incrementally there's been an attempt for the past 25 plus years to in some way infringe upon our constitutional rights. I'm thankful to see that the Supreme Court has ruled that that cannot be done. Now the Supreme Court ruling on the Second Amendment right was on the basis of a couple of states, I believe one of them was Hawaii, where they wanted to make the constitutional right to keep and bear arms something that could be modified by merchants, modified by individual companies and organizations. But the U.S. Supreme Court said that a citizen has the right to carry a weapon. We already have a super constitutional right for that. It is embraced, upheld, and buttressed in the state of Florida so that we're well protected with open carry, concealed carry, etc. But the ruling is now that if a place of business, a big box store, is open to the public and anybody can walk in, they cannot tell you as a citizen if you have a right to carry, they cannot tell you as a citizen that you cannot carry your weapon when you go in. Ladies and gentlemen, most nations, most free people that have the right to keep and bear arms, there's a very, very serious reluctance on the part of thieves, on the part of those that would want to come in and overthrow, because they know that there's a defense system. Right now in Iran, it's my most humble opinion that that nation of people would have overthrown their government style where they're murdering the people had the citizens had the right to keep and bear arms. The point that I'm making, we're witnessing the collision of two worldviews. One worldview is communism, Marxism, Islamism, and the other worldview is our constitutional republic. There is a major, major collision. We're at the crossroads with the battle taking place today. Here's an article. Red State HMHOA, its homeowners association, suddenly disarmed, decides to ban residents for carrying guns in their shared spaces. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a mindset with some of the HOAs that they can tell you and control your Second Amendment right. And I'm using that as an illustration of the danger we see with the two worldviews colliding together at this very moment, where there's the freedom that we have in America, the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, where we can have a Bible, where we can preach from the pulpits, where our churches can be open, where evangelism can still be free to take place. We're at the risk of losing that if we lose our constitutional republic. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk further about what's happening in New York with Mondami and the serious concerns that I have and others have about that. We'll talk about what's happening in the state of Texas and Michigan and Colorado. We'll talk about what is taking place with the election that's coming up and the need, ladies and gentlemen, to recognize very seriously of where we are and what we need to do. It's a call to action. It's a call for prayer. It's a call for us to recognize what has happened and take a stand and ask God to divinely intervene and cleanse our nation and give us the freedom that we have today that it might continue. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news. Right after the news break, we'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu. WTRJ-FM, Orange Park. WAYL-FM, St. Augustine. WATY-FM, Folkston. WMUV-HD4,